only $9.99. Just go to Vistaprint.com and enter promo code 8787 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 8787.
Kubota presents their Gear Up and Go sales event going on now with special promotion pricing on tractors and Commander Zero Turn mowers. Click on StLouisKubotaDealers.com.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon. Here on the Big 550 KTRS, I am Paul Harris, your 20% host, giving 100% of the effort. And Ian is here with me behind a control board. Look at that, I'm 90 seconds into the show and I've already screwed up a word. I guess I'm going to get docked pay again. Oh, wait, that was the other station. And filling in now for Dan Strauss, while Dan is getting all ready for the World Naked Bike Ride tomorrow through the Tower Grove neighborhood, an event that all America fears.
or the bike ride?
not the event. Dan's presence in the bike ride. From front or back, it's not a pleasant sight. Here's Mr. Tim Weiland. Hello, Tim. How are you?
Hi, Paul. I'm fine. How are you okay? Doing? Yeah, everything's fine.
I would like to do an imitation now to start the show. I don't do impressions, as you know, but I occasionally can do an imitation of, which means I don't do the voice. I just give you the sense of the... Here's my imitation of every meteorologist in St. Louis right now telling you exactly what the weather is going to be in your neighborhood for the next couple of hours. Well, it's either raining or it's not. Because if you get in your car and drive 5 miles, if you weren't in rain, you'll be in rain.
That's right.
If you're in rain, you'll be out of rain. And that's the way it's going to be for the next couple of hours. Thank you. Back from the KTRS Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Paul Harris.
And you know what? You got it right.
there's no way to go wrong that when you right. say that. It's like if I were a professional meteorologist, I would say every day there's a chance of rain. Every single day.
Exactly.
I don't care if it's going to be sunny and blue skies and not a cloud in the sky. If you just tell people there's a chance of rain, it's like that old joke with the guy in the bar hitting on the woman. Would you ever go out with me? There's no chance. No chance? One in a million. So you're saying I have a chance. it's the same thing. On the most beautiful days of the year, I would say, well, there's a chance of rain today. Not a big one.
No.
Could be 0.0000001%. But you're saying I got a shot. And then we get one of those summer sun showers where you look up and you go, where the, how can it be raining? Oh, well, Paul was right.
That's right. Yeah, I checked. When I go online to check weather, I just go to the Weather Channel, weather.com, mm-hmm. of course. And every day, you know, they have a forecast, and every day they have the chance of precipitation.
Yeah.
And I love the days that they put like 10%.
Yes.
How do you come up with that formula?
I don't know.
How do you come up that, well, there's a 1 in 10 chance.
I once asked a meteorologist here in town. I won't say his name. It was a he, but I won't say what his name was. What's the difference between mostly sunny and mostly cloudy? And what's the difference between partly sunny and partly cloudy? Because it seems to me like you're saying partly cloudy on days when it's actually mostly sunny. Isn't that the same thing? Isn't partly sunny the same as mostly cloudy? There's always a part
right.
of whatever
yes.
it is. It's like my chance of rain. There's a percentage, a tiny one, that's going to be cloudy or sunny no matter where you are.
There are very few days where there's not one cloud in the sky.
Exactly. It's going to be 0% clouds today. Really? I bet I can. If you, and then you look up and you see that little white wisp. Hey, see? The guy who said partly cloudy was right. Not a big part.
Yeah, right.
But for partly cloudy sounds more negative than mostly sunny. So I would just go with, you know, mostly sunny in that case.
What did he have to say?
He admitted that there's no difference. He said, technically, you're right, that if it's partly sunny, it has to be mostly cloudy, because those are the only two options up there. You know?
Yes.
It's not going to be partly sunny, partly cloudy, and 30% construction paper. It's you know? And 22% salsa. That's not going to happen up there. It's the atmosphere. You only got two choices, sunshine or clouds. Technically, you always have sunshine. It's whether the clouds are blocking them. Okay, stop. It's not a TED Talk. You don't have to keep going on, Paul. All right, I'll stop. Was that out loud?
Could yes, you, that was all.
Was I doing my inner monologue out loud again?
External voice.
Your right. Inner monologue.
Oh, if I had a microphone in there and you could hear the inner monologue, this place would get shut down in 5 minutes. All right. Coming up on the show today, in about 10 minutes or so, I'm going to talk to a guy who's done a new documentary about an event that I didn't even know had happened 40 years ago this month. In fact, last weekend was the 40th anniversary of the Ozark Music Festival at the Missouri State Fair out in Sedalia. Now, coincidentally, next weekend is the beginning of this year's Missouri State Fair, and you will not see a roster of rock and roll acts like they had in 1974. BTO, America, The Eagles, Marshall Tucker, REO, Leonard Skinner, Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, Ted Nugent and the Amboy Dukes, Electric Flag, Elvin Bishop, Bob Seger, and on and on.
Wow.
And on, all in one weekend. Now, the reason you'll never see that at the Missouri State Fair is because of what happened in 1974. And you'll get the details of that, not only from the guy who's done the documentary, who's going to join us at about 3:30, but a friend of mine who tipped me to this whole thing because he was there.
Wow.
So we'll have a first-person story about it and the documentary story about it coming up here in a few minutes.
You got to see all those groups, and I'll bet the tickets were $15.95.
Oh, I don't think there was even that much, but
yeah.
We'll find out.
Wow.
when Jeff and Mark join us in a little while. And then we'll also, not now, but after I talk to those guys, we'll talk to any listeners who were there and remember it. Those are two different things, by the way.
Yeah,
it's true. It's entirely possible that you were there for all 3 days and have no memory of it because it was 1974. And let's just say the word psychotropic drugs may have been involved in your presence there. So we'll get to that in a little while. Speaking of the forecast, which I was just a moment ago, I read today that we were almost wiped out 2 years ago by the sun. Did you hear about this?
No.
According to NASA, the most powerful solar storm in more than 150 years just missed Earth in 2012. This is not one of those hoax things. I mean, you don't even have to go to Snopes to check this thing out. This is from NASA. When it comes to what's happening in the sky, these guys are pretty good on that.
Yeah.
They say that the storm would have seen X-rays hitting Earth at light speed and destroying most electrical gear. The solar storm was caused by two large clouds of plasma known as coronal mass ejections being released by the sun. Physicist Daniel Baker of the University of Colorado says if it had hit Earth, we would still be picking up the pieces.
Wow.
Luckily, it missed us. It actually intersected with Earth's orbit, but it came across our orbit a week after we were in that particular point. Now, I will grant you that this story is like those people who said, you know, that flight that got shot down over the Ukraine, we took that flight 2 years ago. We're lucky. You always hear that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if I'd left work five days ago, like 2 minutes earlier, I would have been in that crash on 270. Oh, well, you are really lucky. But in this case, I didn't even know that solar storms could do this. They say if the blast had occurred a week earlier, it would have been a totally different story. The total economic impact, this is according to NASA, would be something like $2 trillion, which is about the cost of 20 Hurricane Katrinas.
Whoa.
Now, I was worried. I'll be honest with you. I don't worry about a lot of things. I'm not a paranoid guy. I just kind of take every day as it goes. But I do worry, and this is I blame this on my friend Phil Plate. Phil is an astronomer and a scientist, and he writes a column for Slate, and he's written a couple of books. You may have heard me talking to him and calling him the bad astronomer, because that's how he identified himself. He originally started writing about bad astronomy and science in movies. Like, you know, when the Death Star explodes in Star Wars, technically you wouldn't actually hear anything because it's in space, but it's a movie and they got to make it explode. And, you know, all that, that bugs him as a scientist and an astronomer. He knows how it should be. And I go, it's a movie, Phil. I know. But he told me several years ago when he wrote a book called Death from the Skies about asteroids possibly coming very close to Earth orbit and possibly hitting us again. And, of course, it's the asteroids that killed off the dinosaurs hundreds of millions of years ago. And I've asked him, you know, why aren't we working on a way to take care of that? I mean, I've seen it in movies. I saw Billy Bob Thornton and Bruce Willis go up there and blow up one of these asteroids. What do we do if we find one of these with our giant telescopes? Do we call them up? You know, they're getting old. You can't count on Billy Bob and Bruce forever. You know, Liv Tyler was in the movie, too. I don't think she's going to be much help. Or that other movie, Deep Impact, which had Morgan Freeman as the president. President God. What's the difference from Morgan Freeman? And we're going to talk about him again in a second. But I asked Phil, you know, what do we do about that? And he said, well, we should be already planning missions to try to go land on an asteroid. And I said exactly what you're saying to yourself right now. Land on an asteroid? That's crazy talk. He said, no, we actually have the capability right now. It's a moving object. Remember that the moon is a moving object. If we know where it is and where it's going and what speed it is, science should be able to make it possible for us to go land on one of these things. And I said, and what do you do then? Blow it up? He said, no, actually, we would have to use some other technology.
Push it.
Thrust it away.
Something like that. And he said, it's actually possible that we could... He didn't use the words tractor beam, but we could use some sort of device on a shuttle-like spaceship to effectively push it out of whatever, not orbit, but flight pattern it's on if we determine that it's going to come to Earth. And I said, and that would solve the problem forever? He said, well, it would solve it temporarily for that one asteroid.
Yes.
And that's when the hair on the back of my neck went up.
Yeah.
And that's when I started saying, okay, well, now I have something to worry about. Not that it's going to happen in my lifetime, but you always hear these stories. Oh, on Friday, August 3rd in the year 2029, we're going to, you know, and none of that is ever true. The ones I worried about are that Phil also told me about the We have a pretty good idea of what's in near-Earth orbit, but we don't have such a good idea about things that are behind other things in space, which could be hurtling towards us. And, you know, you get a month's notice or so, and then get Billy Bob on the phone, which is what it was in the movie Armageddon. So I had kind of gotten over the asteroid fear, and now I have the solar storm fear that I have to add on top of that. This is a nice way to start your weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, very good. Doomageddon.
Well, here's what you should be thinking. You were already in weekend mode. This would be a good weekend to party because we could die anytime. Have a nice weekend, everybody. And now to the Morgan Freeman thing. He was on Jimmy Fallon last night and promoting this new movie that he's in called Lucy, which Colin Jeffrey and I are going to review for you next hour, along with the new Hercules movie and the new Roger Ebert documentary. We're going to do all that in the 4 o'clock hour. And while he was on there, Jimmy Fallon got Morgan Freeman to suck on a helium balloon and talk in the really high voice. And it's funny to hear Morgan Freeman's voice coming out in that much higher register that you get when you have helium and you've inhaled it. But even better for me was this piece of audio from yesterday on ESPN, on the Mike and Mike show. They had Frank Caliendo on. Now, if you watched ESPN or ESPN2 yesterday, you could not avoid Frank Caliendo because he was on, I counted what I saw. I had it on all day long. I saw him on 4 different shows between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. That's pretty good. And he was promoting this Frank Caliendo special. It's going to be on ESPN at 6 o'clock tonight. I've already set my DVR for it. You might want to do the same because I haven't seen Frank in a while. And by the way, he's lost a lot of weight. He's not the big roly-poly fat guy he used to be. He has lost a lot of weight. And he's also added a whole bunch of new impressions to his act, including a great Morgan Freeman. And yesterday on Mike and Mike, he did Morgan Freeman reading LeBron James' letter that he wrote about going back to Cleveland. Here's what it sounded like.
Before anyone ever cared where I would play basketball, I was a kid from Northeast Ohio. It's where I walked. It's where I ran. It's where I cried. It's where I bled. It holds a special place in my heart. People there have seen me grow up. I sometimes feel like I'm their son. Their passion can be overwhelming, but it drives me.
Okay, I don't want to play the whole thing. Is that an unbelievable impression?
Pretty good.
If I had not told you that was Frank Caliendo, or if it hadn't aired yet and you hadn't maybe heard or seen it anywhere else, and I told you, hey, Morgan Freeman did a bit where he's reading LeBron James, you'd go, wow, that's amazing. I didn't know Morgan Freeman could do that. No, it's Frank Caliendo doing Morgan Freeman. So anyway, 6 o'clock tonight.
But anyway,
ESPN, you may want to set your DVR for that. Let's take the break and we'll come back and talk with these two guys who know something about an event that took place 40 years ago in Missouri. And I'll just give you a clue about why there never was another one. They expected 50,000 people to show up in Sedalia for this concert. They were off by a factor of 5, 6, or 7. That story next on the Big 550. First, let's check the roads, Tim.
All right, they've just cleared an accident that was on westbound 40 at Boone's Crossing. All lanes are now open. Things are really jamming up, though, from, it looks like, Timberlake Manor all the way out to the Boone Bridge. Now, if they do have some rain in the area, southbound 270, some spotty areas between Highway 40 down through Big Bend. We also have downtown eastbound 40 slowing Union Station to the Poplar Street Bridge. And on eastbound 270, things just now getting slow. Just before Lindbergh through New Florissant. This traffic report, it is brought to you by Famous Footwear. It's time for BOGO at Famous Footwear. Buy one item, get a second item half off. Mix and match shoes and backpacks to save big for back to school. Get the gear to send them back with confidence. Famous Footwear, victory is yours. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Desk, I'm Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
It only takes a second. Go to Facebook.com and search the Big 550. Then click like on our KTRS Facebook page.
Very shagadelic, baby.
The Big 550 KTRS.
Summer is usually slow in the retail world.
Not at Granite Busters. Introducing the Granite Busters Red Hot Summer Celebration.
The very best all-inclusive sale offer of the year, bar none.
When you buy at least 50 square feet of category B or higher granite countertops, these five items are absolutely free. A quarter round or quarter bevel edge upgrade, free. A stainless steel undermount sink, free. A sink grate, free. Plumbing hookup, free. And your old laminate countertop completely removed and hauled away, free. That's over $1,100 worth of extras that the other guys will charge you for. But they're completely free with the purchase of 50 square feet or more of category B or higher countertops. Only at Granite Busters. Take advantage of the best sales offer of the year before it expires. The Red Hot Summer Celebration at Granite Busters at 1752 Jeffco Boulevard in Arnold. Online at GraniteBusters.com.
Sale offer for new customers only. Must mention ahead of time of purchase. Limited quantities. Restrictions apply. See store for details. Offer expires 8/24/14.
Things don't go bump in the night. Intruders do. Strangers who are eager to help themselves to your hard-earned property. And if they have to hurt someone in the process, well, that's just part of the job. If you want to help prevent intruders from invading your home, we want to give you a powerful free gift, one that may dramatically reduce your risk of a home break-in. The security experts at Protect Your Home are giving away a state-of-the-art ADT-monitored home security system, absolutely free. Only if you call 1-800-500-1966. Stop the intruders before they get started by calling for your free ADT monitored home security system. There's no better way to help protect your home and your family. Call in the next 5 minutes and we'll give you a $100 Visa gift card, absolutely free from Protect Your Home, your ADT authorized premier provider. Call 1-800-500-1966. 1-800-500-1966.
License numbers and terms available at protectyourhome.com. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring contract required.
It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Thanks for listening. Back in 1974, that was one of the biggest rock acts in the country, Bachman Turner Overdrive, who were booked along with a whole bunch of other bands to play at the Missouri State Fair in Sedalia, Missouri on the weekend of July 19th, 20th, and 21st. The lineup of acts that were there was remarkable. Not just BTO, but the Eagles, America, Joe Walsh, who had not yet joined the Eagles. He was in a group called Barnstorm at the time. The Marshall Tucker Band, REO Speedwagon, Leonard Skinner, the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, Ted Nugent with his band, the Amboy Dukes, the Earl Scruggs Review, Jim Stafford, Electric Flag, David Bromberg, Leo Kottke, Cactus, Elvin Bishop, Bob Seger, and Bruce Springsteen was actually on the roster but never made it there. But a lot of other people did make it there, and it was a one-time event because of what did happen there. Now, I heard about this from my friend Mark Mueller, who is on the line with me now. He's actually taking time out from a poker tournament he's playing down in Oklahoma. When we were playing the other day, he mentioned this to me. Mark, are you there?
I'm here, Paul.
Now, you were actually at the 1974 Ozark Music Festival. Is that right?
I was there, and I was sweating the whole time I was there because it was the hottest weekend of the year.
Well, tell us what you remember about it.
Well, probably the biggest thing that I remember, of course, now you're talking about an 18-year-old farm kid. The biggest highlights of it, one, was the heat. Two, I had never seen drugs openly used like that in my life. You know, back then was when the drug scene was really kind of coming out. There was only three television stations, and, you know, you would see the hippies and everything doing this. But for a farm kid, I mean, it was just wide open from that. The nakedness, it was a big golly moment for a farm boy from a small town in Missouri.
Did you have tickets, or were you one of the people who crashed the party?
No, we had tickets. As you were coming in today, I would say it was at least, I don't know how quiet, this was 40 years ago, 2 or 3 miles when traffic was backed up. And by the time we got to it, the fence had been laid down so people could just go in. But no, we had tickets. One of the guys that went with me was a big music guy, you know, really liked his music. Yeah, I went along because, you know, hey, it sounded like a party and I'd like to drink beer, so, you know, here, let's go. But the music, of course, was fantastic.
Could you hear the music? I mean, was it a decent concert setup?
Oh, yeah, you could hear it. I have no idea how those guys did it in the middle of it. I mean, they were playing in the middle of the heat. You know, of course, they were young, too. Then we think about guys like, matter of fact, I'm down here at Choctaw, and REO Speedwagon's going to be here in August. Huh. You know, and that just kind of brought it back a little bit. But, of course, those guys were, you know, those guys were in their 20s, too. So there's no way that they would, you know, even I would think that they wouldn't want to try to do it in this heat today at their age, our age.
Well, in the heat, were there at least places where you could go to take a shower or get some water or ice or anything?
Well, ice was, and as a matter of fact, when you go through, I understand, you know, when the documentary I went on the website, one of the things that it talked about was how ice was more extensive than the drugs, and that is true. I mean, it was almost non-existent, but when it did show up, I mean, in 1974, I think I remember like $5 for a bag of ice. Now, this is when a bag of ice was a quarter. You know, and you could get a, because this is another thing, you could get a hit of LSD for a dollar. Because when we came into the, when we were just coming into the fairground setting, one of the things I noticed was there was highway patrolmen at the gate, and 100 feet away there was a pie or a paper plate that said LSD a dollar a hit. So, it was interesting.
Wow. Now, on the line here, I also have Jeff Lugin from Dustbin Film, which has made this documentary for the 40th anniversary of the Ozark Music Festival. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Pretty good. How you doing?
The stories that Mark is telling, you probably heard from a bunch of people who you interviewed for the film, right?
A lot of repetition, but yeah, not that they're not true, yeah. There is one thing that BTO did not play, and as you played them at the top of your show, they actually had canceled. But the rest of the bands were all there.
And Springsteen did not show up, or what happened there?
Springsteen broke down in Chicago.
Okay.
And, and they only paid him $500. Yeah, that's how, I mean, he was not a big star at the time.
Well, you know, I was going to ask you, how did the organizers, and we'll get to who they were in a second, but how did they pay for all of these acts? I mean, nowadays you look back and that's a pretty great classic rock lineup, and in 1974, some of those bands were at the height of their popularity. How did they get these guys to come to Sedalia?
Yeah, good question. I mean, they started small. They started planning it as if it were a kind of bluegrassy country music thing with Nitty Gritty Dirt Band and Earl Scruggs. And one band just kind of led to the other. I think they estimated the entire music cost $192,000, which is not, I mean, when you consider like one of those bands would be over $1 million
yeah.
today. The promoter, the one promoter who's still alive, Chris Fritz, just talked about it organically growing. It kind of took on a life of its own when it got started, as a lot of these, as a lot of the larger festivals did, you know.
The conditions that Mark was talking about there, trying to get ice, trying to get water, did it turn into the kind of scenes we saw at Woodstock where there was just mud everywhere and people just said, you know, take your clothing off and go have fun?
Well, the only reason there would have been mud is if they opened the hydrants, which they did, but there was no rain from what we understand. I mean, it's, everything we've been told has been contradicted in some way, but it doesn't look like it rained at all. And it's different from Woodstock in that this takes place in the middle of a town, pretty conservative town at that. So you get a kind of different bag of conflicts going on than you did at Woodstock. But, I mean, all of the big festivals of that era have a lot of similarities, you know, the nudity and the drugs and that sort of thing. But,
Mark,
I mean, this definitely has a Midwestern flavor.
Mark, did you get to go into town? What was Sedalia itself like on the way to the state fair?
Well, I mean, on the way there, it would seem to be about the same. We did go later on trying to find some place to take a shower. They did open up, turn some water on to some showers, but, I mean, it was disgusting in there. And we found some stores that had basically closed and had some type of security guards there. I mean, I think they enjoyed it at first because there was a lot of business, but then they realized, you know, hey, this we can't handle this. And some of the stores had simply closed. And just, you know, security guards there just keep people out.
Jeff, they were planning on about 50,000 people. How many eventually showed up over that weekend?
Impossible to say accurately. I know Wikipedia puts it at 350,000. It's probably close to the area of 220 for the whole 3 days. And you talk about, real quick, you talk about the grocery stores. There was one that was closest to the fairgrounds. They actually had issued, each cashier had a shotgun. when the second day came around, just because the owner kind of had it with all the incidences and
so
the shoplifting. And
did most of the businesses in Sedalia close down because they just couldn't handle the crush of people?
A lot closed down so they could just get out of town. I mean, they really expected Sedalia to be taken over permanently. I mean, you know, that's how high the paranoia was. But no, I mean, you know, there's a few grocery stores really close to the fairgrounds, and they were most affected. But, I mean, a lot of businesses closed down just from running out of supplies fast. I mean, you know, McDonald's ran out of food by the second day.
Yeah. Mark, when you got inside, past the gates, I mean, you actually had a ticket, so you didn't have to be one of those who was just jumping over the fences or knocking the fences down. You were actually in there with a ticket. Were you able to get to a place where you could just sit and enjoy the music for hours on end?
Yes, I mean, we could. And one of the things that I remember, and one of the big things that really got to me when I got back was that like in the local papers and everything, was about the trash. Well, the interesting thing about that is, what were we supposed to do with the trash? Every trash container was completely overfilled. There was no place to go with trash. So I remember my buddy actually made a box of trash into a pillow as we laid down and listened to REO Speedwagon. He kind of ended up just kind of, it's just something that I remember, you know, it's weird the things that you remember, but I can just see his head laying back on this box full of beer cans and whatever as a pillow. But, you know, trash was everywhere because there was no place to go with it.
Anything to prop you up at that point.
Sure.
Was this thing filmed a la Woodstock, Jeff?
No, sadly. There was Sedalia's TV station filmed a lot of it, but it was all confiscated for the Senate hearings that followed. And according to the records, the Highway Patrol was supposed to have it, and they claim it can't be found. So we never were able to get that film.
All right, I'll tell you what. I'm just going to stop here for a moment. We're not taking a break here, but I'm going to let Mark get back to the poker tournament that he's in down there in Choctaw, Oklahoma. I appreciate very much you joining us here today, Mark, and I'll talk to you sometime over the weekend.
That sounds great, Paul, and I look forward to seeing the documentary, guys.
Yeah, all right, thanks. That's Mark Mueller, who's down in Choctaw, Oklahoma, and still talking with Jeff Lugin of Dustbin Film, who made this documentary about the Ozark Music Festival. 40 years ago is when this thing took place, and you just showed it to a bunch of people in Sedalia for your world premiere last weekend on the 40th anniversary. What was the reaction?
For the most part, positive. We had a few walkouts. A lot of people in Sedalia remember it being a lot darker than I think it actually was. One woman walked out claiming we were trying to cover up the fact that there were all these dead babies.
What?
We get a lot of dead baby stories for some reason, but there's nothing to verify that.
There's no record. Is there any record of any babies dying at the...
No. No, I think it's one of these things. This thing was a blank canvas for people to make up stories for the last 40 years in Sedalia. And, you know, I mean, it's an interesting study in oral history
yeah.
in a lot of ways.
And as I mentioned, I was promoting the fact that you were going to come on the show today, we're talking not only just about 40 years ago, but we're talking about a rock concert weekend in which many people were consuming all sorts of substances that might have affected their memory later on, let alone 40 years later. And you had to dig through that haze to get to what really happened, right?
Yeah, and you know, who knows if we have. Like I think I mentioned, nothing we've been told hasn't been contradicted. I mean, there are people that think there wasn't actually music there, you know. So it's kind of a case study in memory, too. But, I mean, for Sedalia, it's really become part of its DNA. It's something people love to talk about. I mean, they were outraged across the board back in 74, but they've never really stopped talking about it.
I am sure that among our large listening audience here, we have a couple of people who also were at the show, like Mark was. I'd love to hear from them and get them on here with you to add to this oral history. 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS, cell phones, *KTRS.
Part of the reason the crowd got so big, I mean, talking about St. Louis, Chuck Berry had a big festival a few weeks prior, and most people say that they just walked down I-70 to come to this one, so that really added to the numbers, too.
That's a heck of a walk. He was probably doing that on the Illinois side, or maybe it was here on the Missouri side. I don't even know. But to walk from here to Sedalia, that's a heck of a hike.
I know, but that's what I mean. The patrolmen, you know, they were, like, giving reports. They're headed towards Sedalia, you know. They were watching it unfold, and that's what we were told. I'm sure some of them had cars, but a lot of people walked.
So to go back to the question about whether it was filmed, how do you do a documentary where you have no footage of the actual event?
Well, we do have footage. I mean, it's not of the quality of, say, the Woodstock film or Monterey Pop.
What, were people shooting with, like, Super 8 cameras?
We got quite a bit of Super 8. We also have 16mm from Kansas City news stations that survived, about an hour and a half of that. And, I mean, that's our primary, and then a lot of photographs, of course, but, I mean, we have a lot of film. It's probably not, like I said, it's not the quality we were hoping for, but it's all there is. And just recently, we got a lot of band footage. About a month ago, we got the nighttime shows, including Lynyrd Skynyrd and the Eagles, Ted Nugent. So I was very happy to get that because for a couple of years, that was our big gap. We didn't have the bands playing.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you only had Super 8 footage, even if they pointed the camera towards the stage, you wouldn't hear anything because Super 8 cameras usually didn't have mics set up to them.
Exactly.
Unless you also had
the thing is, there was supposed to be an album, and the promoter had reel-to-reels of a lot of their performances, and he gave those to us. And then we had another source for some bootleg recordings. Where this puts us, as far as, like, mass distributing it, we're still working on with the lawyers. There's still quite a bit of work to be done on putting the movie together is one thing. Getting it all legal is another. So what people will see after this premiere may be a slightly different version of it.
Uh-huh. All right,
we really wanted to have something to show for the 40th.
I've got a listener here who I think was at the festival in 1974. Al, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Had a great time. I'm 60 years old now. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. If you do the math 40 years ago, you were a 20-year-old kid just out for a weekend of fun.
Oh, man, we had a ball. We slept in a livestock bin. We just pulled the car in there and slept in there. And then the A&W in town had like 3 inches of water all over the floor.
Really?
Did you actually get into the concert?
Yes.
And tell me about the concert itself. What was that experience like?
One of the days, I can't can't tell you which day it was, but I know at 6 a.m., I think we woke up to Ted Nugent.
Were the bands playing 24 hours? Did they like start on Friday afternoon and just keep going until Sunday?
No, not that I remember. Now, I remember some of the stuff. I don't remember all of it. I do know that, yes, the hydrants in the walkways were open and there was water all over. There was no rain. But I do remember, the neatest thing was the A&W was like a swimming pool inside it.
So, Jeff, if Al or Mark or anybody else went there on Friday afternoon, did that let them into the fairgrounds and they could stay there until Sunday? Was that the original plan?
Yeah. Yeah, you bought a ticket for all 3 days.
Yeah, we stayed. I took some girlfriend of mine, and we had a pretty good time. But, yeah, they started early in the morning. They'd wake you up. And to get to where they were playing, which was like this huge field, you had to walk away from the barns and all the stalls and everything. But no, we had a great time, and I've never forgotten about it.
Yeah, well, I hope that when you get to see Jeff's movie, it'll bring back some memories, and maybe you'll even see yourself in some footage there.
I'm thinking somewhere along the line, I have a dash plaque from there, but I'm not sure. That might have been a different van thing, because we all drove vans back.
Of course you did. VW microbus or a van. That was all you had to drive.
I know that it was really crowded, and, yeah, it was hot, and it was a mess, but I didn't really see any issues or any problems. But I don't know anything about this movie. I've looked this up online, and there were, like, some snippets a couple months ago, and that's about it.
Are those snippets from you, Jeff?
Probably. I mean, there's a few people have put some of their 8mm on YouTube. I mean, we're really small. It's just three of us working on this. So, yeah, we probably haven't done the promotions like we should have up to this point, but like I said, I keep telling people there's a reason there's all those credits at the end of the movie.
No, this thing was a blast. It was a real blast. I didn't have any problems with any of the locals either, but
it depended where you were. Like I said, most people did have a great time,
it was a lot of fun, but yeah. No, I just wanted to touch base, and yeah, unfortunately, I just turned 60. So
well,
there you go, man. I mean, but it was a blast, and there's never been another one like it outside of the river festivals, and that was it.
Well, happy birthday, and thanks for calling, Al. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Jeff, you said most people had a great time. That kind of implies that there were people who didn't have a great time. Was there trouble in one part or another of the festival where things just got ugly?
Sure. I mean, you put 200,000 people together. It's going to happen. And there were some pretty unique acts of violence. There's one individual a lot of people have told us about who had a hook for a hand. He features prominently in one part of our movie.
I don't know much about the consumption of alcohol and drugs other than what I did myself when I was in college. But I can tell you, if you get alcohol and drugs and a guy with a hook, things are not going to go well unless it's one of the jokes that Frank tells at 5:30. Unless it ends up as a joke, it's not going to be a good thing when that guy gets drunk and high.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, he was one of the biker gangs, and he was charging to come in the fence, and you didn't want to not pay him.
They hired biker gangs? Had they not heard about Altamont in 1967?
That's a point of contention. Who was supposed to be the security was Wells Fargo. The biker gangs claim they were hired. Wells Fargo claims not. I know. You'd think Altamont would have still been pretty fresh in people's memories, but hard to say they were hired. I think they were doing it on their own.
Yeah, just standing by the gate and saying, hey, you want to come past?
Guess who's security here? Me. Want to do something about it? Now, tell me about the Missouri Senate hearing. You mentioned it earlier, but afterwards, was there like an official investigation and the legislature got involved?
Yeah, there were three state Senate committee meetings with six senators. Ike Skelton was one of them. And then there's also a grand jury investigation in Sedalia itself. The Senate committee was mainly an exploratory thing. They really weren't. They were just trying to find out what happened. Who was to blame? Was it the mob? Was it the promoters themselves? Were people in government behind this? That sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
It makes for some pretty funny reading. I mean, they go in all kinds of directions, and none of them seem to be too aware of any of the bands. At one point, they ask about Skynyrd Leonard, and they really focus on a lot of the. There's one funny bit where they're asking about all the demands the Eagles had in their contract, and that one of them says, they demanded Chinese food, and I think, I forget which senator said, you didn't have to fly in a Chinaman, did you? Stuff like that. They focus on a lot of the details of the rock bands and their kind of prima donna-ness.
So,
but it didn't really result in anything.
It resulted in them never doing it again, though.
Yeah, well, Sedalia wasn't going to allow that, for one thing. There was some legislation passed giving towns more control over music festivals, and I guess, I was just told recently, this was used for a festival called, is it Juggalo?
Yes, the Insane Clown Posse has a group of fans who call themselves the Juggalos.
Gathering of the Juggalos.
Certain resolution that gives towns more control whether a festival comes to town. The same, what resulted from the Ozark Music Festival was used to prevent that from happening. So that was kind of interesting. But that was, we just found that out.
How much damage was done? How long did it take to clean up?
A couple weeks. They did a rush job because the fair was coming. So, I mean, it was, you know, and they said they didn't really get it like it should have been. I mean, the bathrooms were backed up. The water was actually shut off for a period of time. And trash was everywhere. I think what it seems like, but there's no verification, a lot of the people that were supposed to pick up trash weren't going in there.
I'm not going in there.
Yeah.
Are you going in there?
So it was, but I mean, the photos, I don't know if you've seen them, but the fairgrounds was just trash. It's amazing.
By the way, this year at the Missouri State Fair, the entertainment is Scotty McCreery from American Idol, Joan Jett, Beatlemania, and Sarah Evans and Joan Nichols. That's a little bit calmer
kinda
than the lineup. Kind of
toned it down a little bit.
They didn't have rock bands for 20 years at the fair. And I'm from today. I can attest to that.
And, wow.
It was even hard to be a rock band and play in bars in Sedalia for years after.
That's amazing. All right, so the film is not in general release yet. There isn't a DVD. There aren't going to be any other screenings until you get some more footage or get some more rights to put it together. Do you have like a Kickstarter campaign to help you fund this thing?
Well, we tried a Kickstarter and failed miserably.
Oh!
We're horrible fundraisers. We're going to try to get one of the gentlemen who was the stage manager of the original festival from New York has offered to pretty much back us on this. We're supposed to fly out there in the next couple of weeks with all our material, and he's got quite a few contacts, and we're hoping he's our savior as far as getting this to the professional level. I mean, we've got all the pieces,
yep,
but it all needs to be mastered and all that stuff. And you know, this is my first film, so I think we've got a great story, but it does need polish, and that's what we're working towards now.
Well, in the meantime, people can go to the Facebook page for Dustbin Film, or I'm sure on Facebook you could just search Ozark Music Festival and your documentary will come up there.
It should. Yeah, there's also a couple sites that just share memories of the festival that you'll probably come up to. But
all right.
For the movie, Dustbin Film, yeah.
When and if you get this thing ready to show in St. Louis, let me know, because you've got my email address and phone number. Let me know. We'll have you back on the show. We'll promote the heck out of it for you and see if we can get a nice big crowd to turn out. Not so many that we wrecked the place.
Right.
We're not going to have 220,000 people at your screening, but
who knows? Fingers crossed.
You're just looking for the publicity. Hey, that'd be cool. We recreated ourselves. Was there ever talk about a 40th anniversary concert? Sedalia, you would never permit that, would
you? Well,
that's
funny you say that, because I tried to get that going. Uh-huh. I went in there and to set up a meeting with the deputy director of the fair. Didn't tell him why I was coming. The second I mentioned it, you know, jaw drops. Hold
get
up
out.
And said, wait a minute.
And get out!
Big director. And they just shook their heads the whole time I was talking about it. Really wouldn't hear anything of it. Didn't get off the ground with that. To this day, that you don't mention the festival to the fair.
That's a dirty word in Sedalia.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Jeff Lugin from Dustbin Film, thanks so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
Tim, how are the roads doing?
All right. Well, they've cleared that accident, as I was saying, on westbound 40 at Boone's Crossing. Things are really jammed up, though. We first have westbound 40 traffic slowing from about Hampton through McCausland, and then you've got slow to stop and go from Highway 270 all the way out to the Boone Bridge. We're looking at westbound 70, a little heavy between Highway A and Highway 40. Northbound 270 at Dorset, we had a medical emergency. Looks like it's off to the right shoulder, but traffic is backing up to Page. Southbound 270, slow areas between 40 and Doherty Ferry. Eastbound 270 slows at Lindbergh. And on northbound 55, that right lane is backed up to the ramp of Highway 44. And this report brought to you by Fast Acting Advil. It has fast absorbing Advil Ion Core technology, and it goes to work in minutes. Try Fast Acting Advil today. Find it in the white box. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Desk, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
There is only one way to predict the future of St. Louis baseball tomorrow, and that's by listening to Memphis Redbirds games on the Big 550 KTRS. Friday, July 25th at 7.05 p.m., the Redbirds take on the Iowa Cubs on KTRS, your home of the Memphis
My
Redbirds.
My wife and I were carefully balancing our budget, just getting by when, wham, the washing machine died. Then, wham, again, the freezer had a meltdown.
It's hard enough paying for a home these days. And for many families, it only takes one broken appliance to break the bank. Just to repair a refrigerator, hundreds of dollars. Hundreds for plumbing. Replace an air conditioner? That can cost thousands. No wonder more and more American households are taking advantage of American Home Shield's Home Protection Plan. We help protect your wallet against unexpected covered appliance or system repairs, including your air conditioner, water heater, plumbing, refrigerator, washer, and much more. For valuable free information, call 1-800-500-6002. Service requests are subject to a service fee for each trade called. Some exclusions and limitations apply. Let's face it, systems and appliances around our homes do break down. So help protect your wallet with our Home Protection Plan. For valuable free information, including terms, rates, and coverage, call 1-800-500-6002. That's 1-800-500-6002.
Joint discomfort. You try to ignore it, but it keeps coming back. Your knees feel uncomfortable when you walk. Your hips twinge every time you get up or sit down. Your hands struggle every time you try to make a firm grip. So if you want real relief from joint discomfort, you need something effective you can count on. Introducing Instaflex, our most powerful joint formula ever. It's the number one selling joint supplement at GNC. To show you how it works, we want to give you a complimentary 2-week supply as part of a nationwide giveaway. Simply call 1-800-700-4318. Take Instaflex once a day to help relieve many areas of joint discomfort, especially the knees. In a clinical study, Instaflex was shown to significantly reduce joint discomfort in everyday activities. If you need joint relief, don't miss this giveaway. Instaflex is available at GNC, Walgreens, and CVS, but you can only get your complimentary 2-week supply by calling 1-800-700-4318. 1-800-700-4318.
Kid, if something in this facility breaks, bends, or bursts, Grainger's got our back. 20 cases of disc springs from Grainger.com. New rotary encoder, ordered on Grainger's mobile app. A dozen splash goggles from the local Grainger branch. What more could you want in life? Grainger has over 1 million products for all our facilities' needs. 1 million. That's a 1 followed by 6 zeros, kid. Everything we need whenever we need it. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones...